Hello, good people, and welcome to another week of the Brunswick Beer Collective. As per usual, I'm Chris Shorten. With me is Jeff G.
Good evening.
And because Paul is, well, he's stuck in Perth somewhere.
We're all making bastard.
I know. We have our usual guest host, Annabelle.
Hello.
Annabelle's going to try and speak, but we get the feeling she might have... She's holding herself together with things.
A big night.
Annabelle's a trooper.
Exactly.
I think you're doing very well.
It's been quite a long day.
All 4 hours of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, given, you flew back in last Thursday from Europe.
Yes.
I think you're doing all right.
Thank you.
Once we go off air, then, I'll be just full of expletives. But
shit, yeah.
Anyway, so I should bring up the obvious thing first because, we're all a little bit psyched. We celebrated 10,000 Instagram followers a couple of days ago.
We did too, that's right. Yeah, so thanks everyone for your support on social media. It's very exciting.
Hello to all you lovely people.
You should all join if you haven't already.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
We'll get 11,000 by next week.
Look, I mean, we don't ask for much, but
we do ask for that.
Yes. If you can find it in your collective hearts to join Instagram, maybe you don't like photos, maybe you do, but we have a lot of pictures of beer.
Yeah, like our photos.
Yes,
even if you don't like photos,
our photos only. But all right, so I'm going to start with because I feel like everyone's got more interesting adventures than mine. But I'm going to start with something slightly different. So last week I was right here at the Isle of Ice Project. And we had the noisy miner Admiral Akbar. And, of course, it's a red IPA. And obviously Admiral Akbar is he's the commander from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
The Admiral from Star Wars, I should say.
Right.
So anyway.
I watched Star Wars on Saturday.
Which is totally commendable.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, it was sort of like... It was one of those things where, of course, everyone knows my love of red IPAs, and the Admiral Akbar is superb.
Mm.
And so it sort of runs through my head like the next day, and sort of thinking like, geez, I'd really like another one of those Admiral Akbars. But I didn't really have time to get back to the Isle of Ice. But then I got home late from something on Thursday, and I'm like, you know what? I've got Return of the Jedi there. So then I put that on to get more Admiral Akbar.
Cunning.
I know, but it wasn't quite the same sensation. So. Then I didn't get a chance on Friday either, but on Saturday. So Saturday I was...
This sounds like when I was like searching for that bloody beef rib is what this sounds like. It sounds like a very similar adventure.
It is, but yeah.
I was just trying to get laid.
Well, each their own. I was looking for something with a large bone, so you had...
Yeah.
Tick, tick.
All the same.
You were just looking for Admiral Akbar, really.
Mission accomplished.
Anyway, so then I was on my way back to Ballarat, and I remembered that the last time I'd seen the Admiral Akbar was at Coach House Ale next to the Ballarat station. And so let people know, like, I'm going to be 10 minutes late, I'm going to stop by the bottle shop and, find it. I walk in there, and it's not there. It's like, I chat to the guy, there is no sign, like, it's been sold out. Every time I get it in, people just keep on buying it. So it was just really sad. However, I did have a bit of a win. So remember when we were at Beervana?
Yeah.
One of our big ones was...
Barely.
I know. Beervana has a lot of blurred memories.
A lot of explaining to do, it does.
Yeah, I think so. But there was, one of our favourites was the Imperial Nibs.
Yes.
They had it in bottles.
Oh, amazing.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I
reckon that's even better than finding the Admiral Akbar, because you'll find the Admiral Akbar again.
Well, that was the thing, really, where it was sort of, I was upset. It's true. I was upset I couldn't find the Admiral Akbar, because that's all I had my heart set on. But in saying that, for a brief moment, I forgot about Akbar and thought about Imperial Nibs.
Yeah.
And it was so good.
It's a win.
But it's from Kerenu, for anyone.
Oh, Kereru?
Kereru. Anyway, we never really knew how to pronounce it. The bottle looked cooler. So that was, I feel like, I know it's a lackluster beer venture, but, I never found Akbar, but I did find something better.
You're satisfied. Star Wars nerd.
Yeah, because exactly. I just...
Not a lot of them.
I had a similar experience trying to look for a beer. Like, I was... So, this will be of interest to almost nobody listening to this, potentially, but...
I'm interested.
So, oh, you won't be in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, that sounded very much like a pity interest.
No, my beloved LSU Tigers were playing their rivals on the weekend. On the weekend, and so Louisiana State. So they were playing Alabama on the weekend, and so I wanted to find a Louisiana-based craft beer. So I thought, okay, a beta.
Yeah.
Should be the easiest... In fact, possibly the only Louisiana-based craft beer that I could find. But it was actually remarkly difficult to find. Like, so I went to the Black Hearts on Ligon Street, just across the road. They didn't have any.
Plug.
And there's going to be...
She's back! Yeah.
Gonna be,
the plug girl's back.
So the beer has kicked in. We're on.
Oh, yeah, it has.
Then I went to the Black Hearts down on Scotchmere.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't find it. Then I went to Carlton Cellars on Canning Street.
Did you go to McCarpin's?
Couldn't find it there. Didn't go as far as McCoppin's because I need to get back to my house. But
because there was actually a game on that you needed to watch.
But then I went to the Great Northern Bottle Shop. And
I was going to say you should go to Great Northern.
And I got the last two of the Abita Purple Haze. That was very exciting when I found that. So unlike your failed beer adventure, which turned into a success, I went to like every venue I could think of and eventually found. I used the brute force approach. So that was
I think you should be very proud of yourself.
I mean, they lost in the end. So that's the anti-climax, but you know, I did my part.
I feel a bit sad, really. I mean,
I just can't sympathize. I don't even know what sport you're talking about.
So it was college football.
Oh, gross.
See, I told you.
It's so boring. Anyway, now that I've offended that community.
So, Annabelle, what have you been up to?
I've had quite an epic journey. Last time I saw Chris, we were in Milan.
We're in Milan. It was a teary farewell at the train station. I was on the train and you were running along next to it.
I believe I left the Airbnb and walked down several flights of stairs. That was the last I saw of Chris. And then I had, you know, a few days faffing about and woke up in Budapest, which was... for all of the craft beer people, they will know that it's quite the scene for craft beer. Unfortunately, I did the usual thing and didn't remember anything that I drank and didn't really take notes like I did last time. So I pretty much just...
Although you felt so embarrassed about it.
I know, I didn't bring a notepad this time. Now I have no idea what I'm talking about. But basically...
So business as usual then?
Yeah, basically they've got like epic beer bars everywhere. They've got lots of... I think they have like 60 varieties of beer that they have... And they make in Hungary. But I pretty much just ended up drinking the like standard shit beer Saproni, which is just, you know, your typical European lager. But I really got involved in that scene.
I can tell you were really dedicated to Budapest. Yeah.
You were paying attention hardcore the whole time you were there.
The first day I got there, we were just talking about how much we love Airbnb. Plug. My phone went flat and I was like, shit, I don't even know where I'm staying. Had a little tanty and then ended up in this really great bar and was just like, I need to plug in my phone and then I'll get a coffee. No, I'll get a beer. So there I did drink a Black Forest, which is like a quarter something. I don't know, it's delicious. Really took the edge off at 11 a.m. And then I
got nothing but style.
Got my apartment sorted and realized I was in the like the ruins district, which is these great bars that serve this shit beer. And yeah, I had a great time, but just don't really remember a lot. It's really good. Great time.
Excellent. That's usually a good time does then precipitate no memories. So
yeah,
that's a win.
It's like pretty much every night lately. Last night was another good one for beer people. We had a...
You were telling me about this earlier.
We had a mountain goat party, which was super fun.
Annabelle does work at
Plug.
Mountain Goat.
Everyone involved in Mountain Goat over the last... 18 years, was invited to go and get shit-faced at the Corner Hotel.
And they succeeded.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Based on Annabelle's strange, Popeye-esque actions here, then...
I was sort of thinking, you know, I'll have a few drinks, catch up with everyone. This is a great way to step back into Melbourne life. And now I woke up, I don't even know what time today, with that regret feeling. I know I've done something, but I don't know what. And then I opened my bag and I had a box set Sopranos DVD collection that I acquired somewhere between Parliament Station and my house.
So it was a terrible thing that you did,
because it was midnight and I couldn't get an Uber because my phone again went flat.
Yeah, there's a bigger problem going
on
here.
That's remarkable.
So I definitely had an ice cream because I found that wrapper of shame as well. But then I also got a DVD box set, which I just don't understand. So if anyone in the Carlton area is missing the Sopranos DVD box set, I have found it and you can contact the boys, maybe follow them on Instagram and we'll get it back to you.
Plug.
Indeed we will.
So that's my shameful stories.
It's not necessarily craft beer, but you know, Tony Soprano would be proud, I think.
He would.
It would be.
I'm sorry, everyone.
And Jeff, what have you been up to?
So apart from my my journeys to try and find this purple beer, which ended up being redundant because we got our asses kicked up. So I had a recent trip to Tokyo where sort of did a bit of craft beer adventuring there. So
we took notes.
Well, at least it's all in Untappd, so I can look it up. But The thing about my work is that they don't send us business class anywhere, so they send us premium economy class. And so my response to being sent premium economy class instead of business class is to go, well, I then deserve a travel day because I'm not turning up straight off, sleeping and going to work. So I arrived on a Monday morning, and that happened to be a public holiday in Tokyo, which was awesome. So I caught up with a few mates, and we basically just toured, you know, all these craft beer bars around Tokyo. So... for anyone who hasn't read the City Lane have an excellent craft beer guide. Plug. But what I thought I'd do is explore bars that weren't on the City Lane craft beer guide. And so
what'd you find?
So I found a place called iBrew, and it was really small. So we're sitting in the alehouse side room here, and I reckon iBrew, the bar area is about half the size of this room that we're sitting in now.
Okay.
So in fact, the whole bar is probably half the size. So the actual bit you could sit in is about a quarter of the size of the room we're sitting in. So, we're talking mega small. And this is how all...
This is how all
the craft beer bars in Tokyo are kind of set up. They're all these really small...
Intimate.
That's a good description of it. Yes. Intimate locations. But
that's such a realtor description.
Yeah, but they had some cool stuff. So, it was like a lot of American craft on tap, not much Japanese. And then we went up to Asakusa and... there's a guy who works at the place that in the Tokyo office company that I work for happens to run a craft beer pub and brew his own beer. So he brews English style ales, and you know they were nice. They're true to style, not massively to my taste, but I enjoyed them and they were good.
You're on holiday. Everything's good on holiday.
Everything's good on holiday.
Soprani's good on holiday.
But then the best thing I found was I went down to Roppongi and. I didn't get into the usual things people get into down in Roppongi, but I found a BrewDog bar in Roppongi.
Oh my god, I found a BrewDog bar in Budapest.
Yeah,
anyway.
they just opened everywhere.
Did they all look like the same bar, basically?
I don't know.
Were they all staffed by Scots?
I didn't take a photo. My phone was flat.
How convenient.
So the one that I went to looked quite different to the one that I've been to in Camden, in London. Mm. So it was a lot shinier and a lot more sort of technical and clean. It's very Japanese, basically. Like it's sort of a bit of a Japanese feel to it without being sort of overly so. And but they had two 16% imperial stouts on tap. So of course, I had to have those.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's your obligation as a member of this podcast.
That's right. So I went on there. So so what were they? I'll look them up. So one was called the Paradox Compass Box.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's called the Dog D.
High school.
So many dimensions to that nickname.
It'll take you anywhere.
And then Dog D was later in university.
So they served the beers in three sizes. They went small, medium, and large. Were there any nicknames associated with that in high school?
No. Ex-boyfriends, mainly disappointing.
And so I thought, well, it may be in a tribute to your ex-boyfriend. I went with a small option. Small because they're 16.
Sorry, my life.
I went, they're 16%. I don't want to be like too massively drunk at the end of this. But small was not that small. It's like 190 mils, which is not really that small relative.
No.
Like,
I'm anybody's. Yeah.
when it's 16%, 190 mils. Like, yeah. After that, like Annabelle, which is, I really don't remember the rest of the night all that clearly. What I do remember though was going to a place called Ant and Bee, where they did only have Japanese craft, and only Japanese craft that you don't find outside of Japan. So no Koedo, no Hitachino Nest, none of it. Just, yeah, like all sorts of interesting. It was in a basement underneath like some other dodgy building. And I'd messaged a couple of mates to come and join me, and I said, oh, and of course I'd had 2 16% beers, but so I was just like saying, oh, it's called the Ant and Bee, it's in a building in Roppongi somewhere. And they miraculously turned up. It was amazing. Like, they didn't have
the whole time, Frank.
Yeah, that's right. Like, they didn't have Japanese mobile phones. Like, they somehow managed to locate this place amongst the labyrinth of the whole. It was unbelievable. So it was
well
a good
done.
Night. It was a good night. Yeah.
I mean, that is a proper beer venture, and if there's any if we have any Japanese listeners, get in touch and let us know if we missed anything. We're
Absolutely.
Always interested for the next big thing, because Jeff seems to be there fairly often.
We're really well-travelled drunks.
I know.
That's great.
That's actually a rather good line. Yeah. We are well-travelled drunks.
Yes.
That's right.
Alrighty, people. I think we should move on to beer number one. And it is. It's beer number two. Sorry, it's beer number one. Beer number one.
This is the third beer that you've had, but this is beer number one.
Good point. It's been a very long day already. So this is... Look, Jeff, you chose it. You tell us.
So this is the Forrester Bitter Amber Ale by 2 Meter Tall, which is a brewery from Tasmania.
See, the worst part about that is that all of those words, you know, they could be abstract words on their own. You know, Forrester, Amber, Two Tree, Tall, whatever.
Smell Rose Place.
Exactly.
It is, yeah.
Amber she was the one that tried to blow up the complex.
Bitter Amber Forrester, who was 2 meters
full
tall,
of wisdom, Amber.
Also got that on DVD
block.
Box
yeah.
set.
Sorry, go.
Yeah. So it is 5.5%, and it lists as a red ale, which I'm
no.
struggling with right
no,
now.
No, it
actually.
Is not. It's not a red ale. It's sort of like a. I guess it's like a.
It's a sour.
Yeah.
Oh no.
It's not a bitter.
I'm just struggling to drink. Okay.
I'll quit your whining.
Like, that is not...
Oh, that is weird.
Whatever that is meant... I don't know if...
It's bitter. That is sour.
I don't know if Forrester Bitter Amber Ale is meant to mean something else.
Yeah.
Whether it's meant to mean Bitter Amber's Forrester Ale.
I mean...
Amber's a sour bitch. She's not bitter.
I think so.
I think we can all agree that we don't know all the beer types out there, but even we don't know what this one is.
Sorry, I'm very delicate.
Yeah, this is not what I expected from this.
No,
this
no.
This is what you call surprise.
and I can actually confirm that it's not because there's something wrong with the tap set up here, because Dingo M at Grape and Grain, which I think is West Side somewhere.
Grape and Grain. It's
I
in
know
Footscray or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Footscray.
And so his comment says, 2/3, I don't know what that's meant to mean. Mm-hmm. What is this? A bitter that's gone funny, a sour that's weak, wild yeast in a funky bogues. It's good whatever it is, just ellipsis. So, and then Josiah S. says, an English bitter, no, it's a sour with the malt profile of an amber. Really interesting. So, we're not drinking the wrong beer, I think. We're definitely drinking the beer that these people are describing. That much I can say.
We're definitely drinking a beer that has all sorts of ideas, but it hasn't really thought any of them through.
Yeah, it's very odd.
Mm.
Very odd.
Yes.
I don't hate it, but I don't...
Right now I pretty much hate everything. But...
And knowing the delicate state you're in, like if we'd read the descriptions beforehand, we probably wouldn't have chosen this beer.
I just got a really good hair flick from that one.
That's right.
Oh.
Well, you know, it is bitter amber.
Amber, what are you doing to me? It's
she's so mean.
It's bizarre.
It's just
a sour. They just totally labeled it wrong.
Yeah, well, they just got it wrong.
Well, do you think, because you know how a lot of these beers exist because, you know, someone experimented. It's like the whole Moondog principle, really.
Jesus, yeah. But it's like, oh, we forgot to put the ingredient in for like the fifth time.
What are we going to do?
Let's get stoned and eat ice cream.
what's happened here?
I think so. I think an error occurred. Mm-hmm. It has to be because, This can't be what they intended to produce.
No.
I mean 2 meter tall, if this is what you meant to do, please let us know. But I mean,
it's like you read the title and you know when you play that game where you all tell a story but only tell one word and it's like Chris and then you say something and then someone says something. You know that game?
I don't know it at all, but that's okay.
Someone's been like Forrester and the other one's Bitter. Amber, ale, and then they've all pulled in their like favorite ingredient and made this.
When you word it that way, it sounds like some sort of potion from a Disney villain.
Exactly, I love Disney.
Someone's gonna turn into a frog.
Oh, I already am the dirty toad.
I mean, that said, the world does seem to like it. So it's got it. Well, it's got an average of about 3.5. There's a lot of 4.25 ratings for this beer. So just some more of the comments. What was I saying?
That is a bad photo.
Joe at Preachers and...
Preachers! I love Preachers. That's where I've drunk too many tall, sorry.
Yeah. On Hand Pump, quite possibly the best hand pump beer I've had in Tassie. Others tend to be hurt by the method, but this one really suits.
Okay.
So that's an example of someone who really likes it. Like, a lot of people really like Duncan G gave it 4.75 with no description. Brendan M at the Spooning Goat in Sydney, very sour, malty, and so good. So,
all right,
the world likes this beer.
I mean, I genuinely don't know what to make of it, but it's kind of got the hint of cough syrup to it. What are we giving this out of 5? Because it's a really complicated thing to...
It is.
I don't understand. I was confused when I got here because I woke up not knowing where I was.
Now look at you.
I don't even know what I'm drinking.
I think... For me, it's kind of like one of like the Hargreaves or Old Bruin. Like it's a sour... It's more like a sour brown ale. And I think My view of this is impaired by the fact that I was expecting something quite different. Mm. So I think I have to give it like 3.25. I think is the most I can give this beer, which is what I'll give it. I actually like it. Yeah, I don't mind it. Like it's
I was thinking 3.
Yeah. I just I'm sick of being told something and then getting given something else. I want commitment from a beer. I just follow through.
Well, it's very similar to when we were talking about last season, the Prickly Moses Red Ale, which tastes nothing whatsoever like a red ale.
Well, it tastes nothing whatsoever like anything.
No, it's
this is just confusing.
It's very similar, only that one didn't taste sour.
Yeah, this one tastes like something, just not what it's meant to.
Yeah, excuse my French, but I've been in Paris, so it's okay. This is just a mind fuck. It's just, you can't say it's that, and then I buy it, and I'm hungover, and I'm delicate, and now I have to drink it, and I just don't want to. Basically, I'm giving it 3.
3 it is, then.
3 it is. Good work. And it's beer number 2, and beer number 2 is... I really have no idea about this one.
So, what it is the... It's the Hamon Ipina by Three Ravens.
So, I'd like to think that you were rehearsing that before you came in here.
Spanish countryside.
So, it was described on the...
it's Gemon Y... P- Pina.
Shame on. Why Pina? It was described as a Mexican-Belgian wheat beer the menu. So I thought, like, well, that sounds like the most interesting thing and, like, the thing that's most likely to offend Annabelle. So, you know, let's go with that.
I like your strategy there.
I hope it tastes like ham hocks.
It's really strong.
It's actually not... It's you tell me.
It does taste like ham hocks.
There you go.
I like it. This is like... I love pan ham soup, but it's too hot in this weather. Just have a refreshing beer.
Like, it's
because most... It's so strange, isn't
most it? Most smoked beers are dark.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like about
that
as...
that is delicious.
Yeah, about as light as light can be. Smoked beer. There you go.
Delicious.
That is kind of cool, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
I quite like it.
I mean, I couldn't imagine, you know, drinking a six-pack of it.
No.
But I'm going to thoroughly enjoy this pot.
You're going to have a bowl of it with some croutons, however. Yeah.
That's right, yeah, they should just... there. All Caesar salads should be served with this beer from now on.
Oh, that is so yummy.
Well, I mean, we all know that's a degustation waiting to happen, right?
It is, it is.
And here's your Caesar salad, and here's your specially matched pea and ham.
Well, maybe just like a bacon degustation, right?
Yeah,
you can just
this
do
is
like
bacon.
Six courses of bacon. Like, I'm pretty sure it can be
Doesn't
done.
Doesn't it cause cancer?
Everything.
I was saying this the other night. I reckon that article, like, was the best publicity bacon could possibly have gotten ever.
I
reckon.
Well, I read about it overseas.
I reckon I reckon bacon consumption went through the roof after
shit,
that came out, because people just went. People would have read the article and gone like, well, that's obviously a load of crap.
Yeah.
But bacon, I mean, bacon in ages.
Yeah.
So people would have just gone like, bacon.
I do bacon.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what happened.
And we're totally off topic, but it makes you wonder whether that was put out by the bacon lobby. I know. The all-powerful bacon lobby.
Yeah.
Bacon lobby, if you're listening,
maybe
get in touch.
Yeah, they're geniuses, those guys.
I know.
I remember one time I was in a vegan restaurant hungover. And I stupidly asked, do you have bacon? And she said, no, but we have smoked coconut. That is not a substitute.
Yeah, that was never going to fly.
This is the real thing.
What kind of answer is that?
Smoked
we have smoked coconut. That's
I
not gonna...
immediately left.
It's like, that is not delicious at all.
Screw you and your toasted flakes.
Alrighty. What are other people saying about this masterpiece?
So Dave A calls it smoky goodness.
Dave
25. Or Dave space A. Ben, not the Ben that we know.
Alright, we'll just let our friendly motorbikers pass. We're good, go on.
So Ben says, tasting the smoke more strongly today, still loving the way they've used pineapple in this, refreshing.
Get out of town. I always tell all my friends to drink pineapple juice.
Yeah.
I don't get pineapple, period. But
Cliff S. at the Quarryman's Hotel, who has Duffman as his avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Too sour for a smoky beer. Hate giving it a bad rating because I like it. What?
Why don't you have a taste of amber and tell us about sour?
That's right. Just not a very good smoky beer. Okay, so he's having the same reaction that we had to previous beers. Like, he was expecting something. Although, I mean, like...
That is a good smoky beer.
Yeah.
This is a good smoky beer.
Duff man gone. Duff cray.
That's right. Duff ra.
Duff cray cray. No.
It's like the first thing they ever did go wrong. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Possibly.
Quite citrusy. So this is the Beer Bee at Eastern Creek Carts. So he might have just I don't know whether he drank it while he was carting or what. Quite citrusy with subtle smoke. A summer smoke beer. I don't think smoke is that subtle.
No.
But like, I do like the idea of a summer smoked beer.
Summer smoke. That's what it is. Yeah, it's like a cold soup.
Yeah.
Yishishua.
Well. So Ray, who was at the Keg and Brew, he said, hint of toilet water in the aroma.
Okay.
I think that might be the... Like, the Keg and Brew is a great pub, but it's an old pub that has not been renovated in quite some time.
You're thinking it's less about the beer.
I suspect he says that about every beer that he has at the Keg and
Maybe
Brew.
Maybe it's not enough pineapple juice.
Alrighty.
Anyway.
Let's wrap this up, people. What do we think about it?
I think it's delicious. I really like this beer. I am... as delicate as I'll ever be today. And
I don't believe that for
a second. This is going down quite well. It's good, smoky and summery.
So, out of...
4.5. Yeah.
Wow.
Annabelle's putting out again.
Jeff?
I'd give it I reckon, above Christoph's scale, I reckon a 3.75 for me is where I would give it. That's okay. Each to their own. Each to their own.
I think this is an experiment gone right. Ooh. I think this is a 4.
A 4?
Yeah.
So, what does that leave us?
I have no idea.
I don't know what we do in this situation.
Do you want me to say 4.25? I'm pretty generous. Like, it doesn't matter.
Jeff, you know more about mathematics than I do.
I reckon, yeah, we'll just give it the median. We'll give it the median score, so that will be a 4. We'll give it your 4.
I think that
resolves any need to flip coins.
No more fights.
Flip three-sided coins or to do any of those things. So, yeah.
Cage fight.
Cage fight?
That's always your answer.
I could be mean.
look, if we're going to go to cage fighting, we'd just give it the 4.5 and leave.
Yeah.
You could kill us both in a cage fight.
Pretty much
is clear. Yeah, with your hair alone. Your hair alone could kill us in a cage fight.
In my Sopranos collection.
Alrighty, people, let's roll up this. We have been the Brunswick Beer Collective. I've been Chris Jordan. With me has been Annabelle. With me has been Jeff.
See you.
And we will see you next week. Thank you.